Hiya, welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 in the lounge for a wee cuppa, followed by our worship from 11 a.m. You can also connect with us via Facebook, Exchange Church Belfast, Twitter at Exchange Church, Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, or our website, exchangechurchbelfast.com. It would be great to hear from you. Now over to this week's talk.
So shall we get our Bibles ready? Because I want you to listen. Last week I said this. In Revelation 2 and 3, it says that you have to give ear to what the Lord is saying. All right? And our context is Belfast. It's not Amsterdam and it's not Singapore. Our context is here. Do you get that? And that's okay, because whilst we're joined in spirit, there's things that are contextual for us and things that are contextual for our journey. And here's what's going to happen when I talk the way I'm going to talk this morning. Some of you will just go, great. And then 6 months down the road, we kind of go, see this grace thing? I'm still battling along the edges, and I really want to see breakthrough, and I'm waiting. And whilst there's always a journey to be done in grace, what I have found, particularly over the last 18 months, remember I said when the reason why I want you to sit under Marcel's ministry is because whenever he stepped into our life a few years ago, I don't know when that was, 2015, we were this close to going, sodges all, we're done. Too honest, that's where we were. And remember I said that honor releases blessing? Do you remember I said that? When you live in dishonor, I'll show you it again this morning because some of you are looking blankly at me and it's really important. That actually when he honored Penny and I, not by doing anything publicly or anything like that, but just showing us love as a leader and affirming us, then life started to flow in us. Do you get that? And it's really important that we understand that the sense that I get is not about dishonor amongst ourselves and honor and dishonor, but it's about giving ear to what the Lord says. Because to honor means this. It's the Greek word is timē, and it means to value something, to see it as precious or weighty, to appreciate it, to give it respect, to give it its worth, its weight, and its value. That's what to honor means. Now, obviously the antonym or the opposite of that is dishonor, which is a word atimia. And so that means to not respect. I mean, work it out. But if I put it this way, it means to treat it as ordinary, common, or menial. And what I was encouraging you about was this, was that whenever we hear what the Spirit is saying, we have to give ear to it and not treat it just like it's anything else. It's almost like the word of the Lord, what the Spirit is trying to say into your life is because he wants to bring good fruit into your life. Do you know that? He wants to lead you from glory to glory. He does not want you replaying the same old scenes day after day after day, living with you know, hearing about how good he is, but not seeing it in the reality of the Tuesday afternoons when the kids are going crazy. Do you get me? And so what you have, but you have to give ear to what, and that's what the Spirit says towards the end to the churches in Revelation in 2 and 3. He says, if you have ears to hear, then listen. And there's a sense, because what I really believe, over the last 18 months, what we have experienced in our lives is an acceleration of seeing grace spoken to grace lived. I'm talking about Penny and I. In our homes, in our business, in ministry, and in the church. We have seen an acceleration of hearing, not just hearing the word, but actually feeling the difference and living it every day. Do you get that? And there's something in that where I felt this year, there's a number of things that I feel that I'm going to try to pull together. But it's going to start with you giving ear to what the Spirit is saying to you. Because you do not have to live through 2018 just being somebody who hears and doesn't live. Do you understand that? I'm absolutely determined to see this church increase and grow and take up its mandate to be a church that declares the unmerited favor of Jesus in this country and beyond. Amen. Because look at the places, I'm going to say it's a tip. You know, Northern Ireland, 20 years post all that political stuff, what do you call it, the Good Friday Agreement? Okay, 20 years post that, and we hate each other as much as we've ever done. We've just learned not to bomb and shoot and kill. But in our hearts, it's still there, true or not. And, you know, if you want to talk about the purpose, the cause, and the belief of this church, it's to bring men and women together into a place where we go, you are loved. The only way you will ever change is by experiencing the love of Jesus. The love, because he's a good God. He's not the harsh, judgmental, critical old goat that he is portrayed as being. He is a good God, and he loves you. And listen to me, the theme I'm going to say this for our church is I feel like the Lord is pulling us together to say this. Give ear to what I'm saying, because your purpose needs to be found in my purpose. Because when your purpose is found in my purpose, then life flows. But if you just treat what I say to you like everything else, like common and menial, do not be surprised if you live frustrated. And I don't want you to live frustrated. I have felt the difference in my life. I've seen the difference in my life. My bank looks different. My home looks different as we have received grace upon grace and seen life flow. Amen? So I'm not coming at this from some sort of kind of ethereal up there. I am excited for me to go, if you are sick today, if you have mental health issues, do not wait until 2018 to give ear to what the Spirit is saying. Listen to what he's saying to you now and receive grace upon grace, because it will bring good fruit in your life. Amen? Okay, so that's what I'm going to say. Let me just show you this from the Word, because it's interesting that dishonor or honor can be, it's not just about what you say. So, the world's full of it, but the church is really good of people who are bluffers, okay? I love the expression, bluffing with a pair of twos. So, see, if you laugh, I know that you play cards and the Lord's not happy. That was a poker reference for those of you. Okay, so some of you going, I have no idea. Neither do I. Penny told me. She plays it with the kids. I wonder where all the change goes out of my pockets. Everything they have a card. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But bluffing with a pair of twos. You know what I mean? And what happens is we have all the right sayings and we know how to play the game, but our hearts can be in a totally different place. And that's what the Lord said in Isaiah 29. He says, people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips while their hearts are far. And actually what the Lord said is he would write this covenant on your heart. It would be a flow from the inside out. That's what grace does. And so if you have something in you today that goes, I would like to see some changes. I would like it to be different. I would like to see more grace upon grace experienced from the inside out. Then listen to me. Because it's not about what you're going to say. Could we make a deal? What I love about grace is because there is no judgment for sin. Okay, I talked about that last week. Because he is already judged. It should allow us to be a wee bit more free to go, this is what really is going on in me. Because we know that we're not going to be held up as some kind of agent. I'd like to see what's wrong with him. Because in grace, it's all free to come up. Because there's no judgment, love can change you. All right? Because this is what happened. Let me quickly read it. I wasn't going to. I'll read it quick. Mark 6, 1 to 5. He went away from there. There we did it. And came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives in his own household. And he couldn't do any mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and he healed them. Excuse me. And he marveled because of their unbelief. So the picture, I used this last week if you hadn't listened to it. What I said is, why it's so important to not, when the Spirit is speaking, not to just go, well, it's almost like we go, yeah, well, I heard that, but I think this, and they think that, and do you understand? It's almost like we set up the words of Jesus with everyone else's opinion, or what you, do you understand? It's almost in a line, and we pick and choose. When you do that, you're treating him as menial. Dishonor. Treating his words as ordinary. Dishonor. And when there's dishonor, there's no life. That's what you see here. These people were talking amongst themselves. And what they were doing was going like, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Seriously, that's the wee lad from Nazareth, the carpenter's son. He's just a carpenter. So they weren't outright trying to kill him. What they'd just done was they had dialed back and just made his words ordinary. And when you do that, there's no life. And I think for some of us in 2018, what we're going to see is we need to recalibrate and reprioritize the words of Jesus. What does he really say? And what is the Spirit saying to me now? Because the Spirit says to the church, if you've got ears to hear, then listen. Listen up. Because I have a feeling that there is breakthrough whenever we start to see. Well, I know that there's breakthrough because I've lived it and I'm living it now. Whenever we start to go, actually, Lord, I just don't want to have all the form of Christianity. I don't want to have all the form of faith. I certainly don't want to have all the form of grace because it'll drive me nuts. Because it promises so much and I get to live so very little of it. I don't want to just have that as something that comes. That's tiring when we play the game like that, isn't it? Jesus, I want to see this lived. And so the theme of honor, I'm going to weave in and out as we go through the year, because you don't nullify God's grace because of your sin. You nullify God's grace because of yourself. Where there's sin, grace superabounds. Can I just encourage you? Where you're struggling and where there's sin in your life and there's habits, can I just say you are so loved in that moment? There's no judgment because Paul describes it, where there's sin, grace superabounds. It's almost like sin as much, or sin to this level, not as much as you want, but sin to that level, and grace will always be more. You can't outgrace sin, okay? Isn't that awesome? But as soon as you turn to yourself, and it's about you, and Jesus becomes menial and ordinary, like the Lord says, he put his hands on a few, and only a few received. It wasn't that he was not willing, but it shows us something about self, about pride, that goes, when I turn to me, and I treat him as ordinary, what you've just done is elevated you over him. And in that place, life doesn't flow. And I feel the Lord going, this year, we're not going to do that. You're going to have to give ear to what he's saying. And it's going to sound a wee bit different, because the story that I want to talk to you today about is found, I'm just going to reference it. It's John chapter 4, whenever Jesus goes to the woman at the well. And I've preached on this before, but just let me quickly give you, because I'm going to pull out a bit that I didn't pull out when I preached on it before. Because today, I honestly feel that what happens, and I've done it myself. My purpose, my goal, my life, Jesus as a kind of a 10-pound a month bolt on, teaser. Do you know what I mean? Treating him as menial. And then we wonder why. Lord, why is this not flowing and working? Because it's my purpose with Jesus validating rather than my purpose being found in his purpose. Do you get that? In one, you will live to a level of blessing. Here, superabundance. What do you want? Because it's not your purpose with bless me, Jesus. It's what's your purpose and where do I find my place in it. And actually, Jesus shows the disciples this. And in John chapter 4, you remember it's a story where they're traveling from out of Jerusalem and Jesus takes them on a different road because he says, there's something for me to do here. And they were going to go to Galilee. And what's interesting about the disciples, they did not expect to be where they were, all right? So all the parallels that I've told you before, disciples find themselves in a spot and they go, flip, definitely didn't expect to be here. Does anyone remember where they were going to meet? Who were the people? Okay, Samaritans. But Galilee was in the distance, and Jesus says, all you Bible scholars out there, Jesus is going to show them something. And he's going to say, listen, what you are longing for is right in front of you. But when you're wrapped up in yourself, you're never going to see it. And there's a real challenge. Because as I've dwelt on this and thought about this, particularly over the last year, actually, it's a story that I spend a lot of time on. Because in my journey of grace, it was one of the big ones that opened my eyes to how Jesus operates. We sometimes live like that. People in grace with their heads full. My granny used to say, with your head full of wee sweetie mice. You know that expression? You all understand that. I have no idea what it means, but I think it means like cuckoo land. Is that right? Head full of sweetie mice. White mice. Not sweetie mice. Okay, it's controversial. Hands up for sweetie mice. White mice. Can I just say, it's a west of the band thing, clearly, all right? I don't want to say cold cheeks, but there you go. It's a west of the band boy, they're white mice. Up here in the big smoke, sweetie mice. Either way, it's irrelevant. It's what goes. I've lost my point. Something about Jesus. That's right. And so don't we sometimes live like that with our heads full of big ideas? And you know, we construct ideas, and it always seems it's just out there. It's good to dream. One of the things I'm going to talk about in the weeks to come is part of me when you start to honor the words of Jesus, and you start to give him his place and you start to find your purpose flowing into his, there's grace to help you to dream big again. Because it's not about you and you estimating what you can do, but it's about discovering, having your mind opened again to what could be in you and through you. So it's good to dream. I'm not knocking the dreamers. And it's interesting that what Jesus is saying is you're going to thrive no matter where you are. Jesus shows in this story, and he shows the disciples, that he's able to bring life and thrive no matter where they are, but there's a key to it, all right? Because they didn't expect to be there. They didn't want to be there. And you know the bit where he says, look, lift up your eyes and see, and all the hordes are coming out of the village after this woman who's received goes and tells them. And the disciples are, as we would say in Belfast, bricking it, because they didn't want to be there. They certainly didn't want to have to deal with all these people. And so I have this kind of picture of him, like a war film where they're all coming up over the hill, brow of the hill, and the disciples are going, are you flipping serious? And but because what was interesting was that they found themselves, okay, in a place where an adulterous half-breed, because that's what she was seen as, all right, a Samaritan, who was rejected even by her own people. And Jesus lets her know and lets her receive. She encounters Jesus in a way which completely, radically sets her free. And she walks back to the village and says, come and see a man. Remember I preached this. Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Come and see a man who knew everything about me, who knew every bit of my history, every dirty, dark secret that nobody else knows. The bits that they did know, they rejected me for it, even my own. But he saw me, he encountered me, he loved me, and she was changed. Come and see that man. Isn't that lovely? It's the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of grace right there. So she has this incredible encounter. She should feel embarrassed and ashamed, because that's what we would probably. But does she sound to you like a woman who's embarrassed and ashamed? She's just had her dirty laundry exposed by Jesus, and she feels hope in life. Isn't that bonkers? All of her dirty laundry publicly displayed. And she goes away going, flipping awesome. Is that not? Do you know what happens today? People medicate, do whatever to keep their stuff on the inside. And here we are today in our church sitting with the gospel of grace, the love of Jesus, the unmerited favor of the King of Kings that says, promises them, come as you are, come and meet a man who will tell you everything about yourself, but you'll walk away clean as you will ever be. Isn't that lovely? So we see that. Now, what's interesting, I'm just setting the preamble here for you. It's like someone knows me, like someone really knows me. Not this honor from the lips, but honor from the heart. He honored me from his heart. And life flowed. Grace flowed. Love flowed. Favor flowed. Someone knows me, and they have the power to cover me and love me and restore me and fix me, not because of what I've done, but because of who he is. It's the gospel of grace. It's a beautiful picture. But I want you to think about the disciples here for a minute. Meanwhile, because while this is all going on, Jesus had told them to clear off. Go and get some food. And now they come back with food, breaking it because all these people are coming out of the villages going, Samaritans, we don't deal with Samaritans. We're going to be so unclean and they're probably going to eat us. And oh, I don't know what's going through their head, right? But they didn't want to be there. Meanwhile, his disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you don't know anything about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? This is what happens, okay? And this is really what I want to talk about. Where does your purpose fit into his purpose? Because the picture here in this story is of the disciples, and what they are doing is they are natural, carnal, everything is determined by what they see around them. The words of Jesus and the demonstration of grace, okay, that he has just demonstrated has gone over their heads. So what they have lost focus and lost perspective of what's going on around them. Why? Because all they can think about is, Jesus, are you going to eat? You need something to eat. And Jesus says this, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months? Then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields now, present tense, are white for harvest. My food, okay, the word there is nourishment. What feeds me, what brings me nourishment, and it is physical food that he's talking about. So it's like, guys, you're treating me like I'm ordinary here. You're just looking at the natural, normal stuff. But you don't understand that as I have just flowed in grace, my purpose was what? To do the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus said it time and time again, my will is to do his will, okay? My will is to fulfill the purpose for which he sent me, which was what? To destroy the works of the evil one. You see it time and time again, Jesus going, what was my purpose? What was my cause? What is my belief? It's simply to do what he asks me to do. It is not my purpose, but his purpose, and I fit into it. And when the two things collide, grace flows. And what's interesting is the result of that is Jesus is fully fulfilled. Whereas the disciples don't get it. You see, because when we're carnally minded, when we're naturally minded, when we're focused on ourselves and our needs, you miss it. They're missing the whole point. Jesus is showing them opportunity. He's going, guys, look up. Will you ever flip and look up and see what's in front of you? You think it's some way off. He goes, it's not months from now. It's right now. But they can't see it because they're so wrapped up in what they have and what they need and their needs. And Jesus is going, do you not see it? Look up, lift up your eyes and say, look all around you right now. You can be as fulfilled as I am. Really? That's what he's talking about when it gets to the end of this story. He's saying, and where do you find it? He says, well, I am fully nourished, fully fulfilled whenever my purpose aligns with his. Because that's my food. And some of us, this is where, honestly, this year, I think, well, when some of us hear this, we kind of go, oh, this is just a preamble to get me into kids' work. No, it's not. Said that with my fingers crossed, all right? Just kidding for the cameras, all right? That's not what I'm about. What I'm saying is don't miss it. If you keep your eyes on the natural physical food, right? Jesus is wanting to raise you a level this year. He's wanting to say, listen, you have a purpose. But your purpose is not going to be found just in the natural carnal you looking after yourself. And believing that lie that self comes first, because when you treat my words and you don't listen to what my spirit is saying, you're not going to flow. You're going to be the grace upon grace, you'll be blessed, but there's so much more superabundance for you. And it's not the will of God to block it from you, it's about you not positioning yourself to receive grace upon grace. And please, the lie is this, the lie is you are responsible for the outcome in your life. You are not responsible. Jesus brings the fruit. Jesus brings the fruit of wholeness. He brings the fruit of completeness. He blesses you financially. He keeps you safe. He keeps you secure. He looks after your children, your businesses, your homes, your schools, whatever. Do you understand that? That is his responsibility and not yours. What an unbelievable release that is today to go, fantastic. I don't need to worry about my earnings in the next 6 months because he's already worried about it and provided it for me. That's the give ear to what he's saying. Because what happens is, if you don't give ear and you don't have him and his purpose, it all becomes about your purpose, and you then are starting to carry the responsibility for everything that is his, and you miss it. And he has to come along and say, no, lift up your eyes again. There is food and nourishment for you, which will far go and far exceed anything that you're going to ever be able to produce. But lift up your head. Get off this stuff and lift up. Your purpose is found in my purpose. And some of us go, oh, I'm not sure. I'm not so sure. Don't wait. This is what Jesus is saying. Don't put it off. It's not sometime tomorrow. He says the time is now. Here's what's interesting for me is that when Jesus was spiritually aligned, he was physically fulfilled. Let that one sit. When Jesus was spiritually aligned, his purpose into his Father's purpose, guess what happened? He was physically fulfilled. How much of your life are you spending meeting your physical needs? Keeping it all together. Worrying about all these things. Why? As I said in week one of Twisted, because we haven't learned to do this one thing. You worry about all that stuff, Jesus says, because you haven't learned to sit and receive my presence being your superabundant supply. Do you get it? But the problem is, when it comes to the promise of God, when it comes to the word of God, that's where the crisis happens. Because we go back to, can I really trust him? Can I really trust him when I start to feel a wee bit, oh? Is grace really enough? Unmerited favor really enough? I just want to encourage you with, this is about your future in 2018. Whenever you honor Jesus, I believe there is grace that flows. It seems like a really basic thing to say. That's why I'm using, don't treat his words as ordinary. Don't treat them as menial. Don't treat them like every other set of words. Give ear to them. Because what you do today, in terms of sowing that into your life, you will bear fruit. It's such an encouragement for you, hopefully. 2 Peter 1:4 says this, he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, number one, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Can I just say the promise of God for you helps you to do two things. Number one, it helps you to partake. What does partaking of the divine nature mean in real? It means that you live supernaturally abundant, fruitful lives. Right? That's simply what that means. Do you get that? So the promise of God helps you to live supernatural, favor-filled life. And it also frees you from the sin of the world. That's the two things he says here. All right? Now, can I just give you a definition of promise? It's two words, pro and metere. Pro means to go forth, descend forward. And is forth, and metere means to send forward. So whenever you start to give ear to what the Lord is saying, what he's saying is he has granted very great promises. So it's always about what he will do in your future. Your future is tomorrow, the day after, not some obscure point 6 months from now, right? You don't have promises about your past. The promises about your past is it's done and it's dealt with. When the Lord speaks to you today, it's about your tomorrow. Does that make sense? And what he's saying is, when you receive and you give ear to my words and you listen to what I'm saying, I am sending forward into your tomorrow all of the grace that you need. Isn't that awesome? So as I listen to what he's saying to me today, it means that tomorrow's covered. I'm going to find myself in grace upon grace tomorrow. I love that. I absolutely love it. It helps me to relax. No matter what point you're at, God is always pointing at what is to come. He's building faith, painting a picture of your future. Now, the thing is, we've all been made promises, haven't we? And we probably really meant them when we made them ourselves, or when they were made to us and maybe they didn't happen and they didn't follow through. Anyone ever been promised or disappointed? I just felt the Lord wanted to encourage you with this very quickly. In Joshua 21:45, my favorite book, it says, not one word of all the good promises that the Lord has made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Somebody needs to say, amen.
Amen.
All of them came to pass. Not one promise failed. If you've gone through this week with doubts in your head and your heart, that's okay. That's why it's good to come to the house of God and go, no, I remember that not one of his promises has ever failed. I may not be seeing it right now. I may not be living it and experience it right now, but it does not mean that it is not yes and amen, and I can walk into it tomorrow. Amen?
Amen?
That's why you need to keep hearing. When people go, I've heard grace, and it didn't really work for me. Keep hearing. Keep hearing. Keep hearing. Keep showing up. Keep turning up. Keep putting yourself in the place where grace comes. You hear, you hear, you hear. And grace always brings about good fruit. Because he says that not one of his promises has ever failed. Isn't that amazing? Oh, man. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, it says in the Message version of Hebrews 6, he gave a rock-solid guarantee. Listen to this. God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. Now, somebody needs to hear that today. His promise starts now. That's what Jesus says. Look, lift up your eyes and see. It's right now. But he's challenging them. It's not just, yes, it's right now. It's going, guys, lift up your eyes and see what I am doing. And when you see what I am doing, you're going to find that what you're called for fits into what I am called for, and you will be nourished. Listen, show of hands, who would love to live in that kind of nourished state? You know that fulfilled plenty? Come on, let's be honest. That's what he's talking about. And what he's saying is it happens in the physical when you align in the spiritual. Isn't that bonkers? No, we think it happens in the physical because I do it in the physical. I work hard, I do this, I do that, I do the other. Okay, great, knock yourself out. How's it working out for you? Oh, I'm doing okay, great. You were called for so much more. so much more than just doing, I'm doing all right, I'm getting through. You're called, his presence, your super abundant supply. Whoever with their own kids ever had them at a place where you went, you know, my greatest joy with my kids, Sophie made herself sick laughing this week. She was laughing so hard she puked, right? Just to be, all right? And I mean, it wasn't just, it was like the Exorcist. Right? Not that I've ever seen that, Samuel, but Penny watches it with the kids and she told me. That's terrible, isn't it? But she laughed that hard. The wee one laughed that hard, she poked. And I laughed then like an absolute champion. I was like, seriously? It brought me so much joy up to the point where she was sick, because then I had to clean it up. But and I can't do sick. I just don't like it. But the thing is, right, at any point with any of your kids, have you ever seen them having a really good time and gone, right, that's enough? Wind it all in now. Apart from the fact when they go crazy and they're going to hurt themselves. But does not bring you the greatest joy to watch them laughing to the point where it's like, seriously? Or are you all miserable so-and-sos? Oh, you smiled on Tuesday, Kyle. You're not due another smile to Friday. Isn't that right? What are you laughing at, Pavel? Enough. This is church. We don't do that. Okay? But do you get my point? Why would you live here when the Lord goes, seriously, grace upon grace? But it's not just about stuff. It's about being fulfilled and nourished. That sense. We sang about peace today. The wholeness of God. The completeness of God. God's calmness, his health, his fullness, relationally, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, nourished, thriving. And I'm all up for that. That's way better than stuff. That's what grace does. And I honestly believe that our theme for this year will be honoring. But when we honor grace, there is a flow. When we honor his word, there's a flow. In a way, that is wisdom. To say, I'm going to honor his word. I'm going to choose his word and not make it menial. And in doing that, in our hearts. You know, I actually believe that many of us won't have to do much different, but you'll see a flow coming. So can I just tell you what we believe, purpose? Because people go, okay. My favorite, when I think back over my teenage years, I've said it many times, the only place I was ever, I was going to say barred from, not barred. What do you call it when parents don't let you go out? Grounded, thank you. The only place I was ever grounded from was church. I was some crack growing up, let me tell you. And but it's true, I was grounded from going to church when I was a kid. Because, as my mother said, see you're forever hugging the altar rails, right? We didn't have altar rails, but her point was, what do you say west of the van? I don't even want to know. But we would say, you're hugging the altar rails. He's never away from the church. Or another one, he's in everything but the crib at Christmas. Right? That's what she used to say to me. See, you, son, you're in everything but the crib at Christmas. Because I was in worship and kids and everything. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And one of the things that caused me the most angst, particularly in my teenage years, is what's God's plan for my life? Remember that? Sitting up to 3 o'clock in the morning, this is what we did because we were geeks. And like, what do you think the Lord's saying? Like, what is it? You know, what is... Because there's this kind of sense, like, if I don't get this right, I'm screwed. It was just like mastermind. Could it be this? And as I've told you many times, my greatest fears would be he would send me to Newton Arch or India. Okay, it's just like... Because clearly the things... No disrespect to either of the people from Newton Arch or India, but that was my... Do you know, when we were told, oh, it's the thing that you hate the most, that's what Jesus has for you. And you may laugh, but in my first year at university, do you know where the Lord sent me to do a team, a Thai team as it was called? Newton Arch. And I could tell there was a spiritual battle going on because the person I was leading the team with, she had a mini metro, remember those? And I just passed my test, she's called Mags Kelly. And Mags had this brown mini metro, some of you may remember it. And she let me drive it. And this is how you know there's something goes on when you cross over the hill from Dundonald, because the first time I set foot in, I was so nervous, my leg was going like that there, and I drove it straight through the fence of the church, straight into reverse, boom, straight back, and I said, see, Jesus, there's nothing good came from Nazareth or Newton Arch. If I was writing the Bible that way. But no, I used to go, oh, God's will for my life. Well, it's going to be absolutely that which I hate. You know, I could just see me handing out tracts at Woolco and it all just going crazy. You know, there's a blast from the past for some of you. But it's not. It's actually real simple. And here's what I'm going to say very quickly, because this is, you see it all around the walls of this church. But in 2018, because in giving honor to what the Lord is saying, what the Spirit is saying, there's wisdom and there's grace that flows. Breakthrough and fruit that happens. Stop treating his words like they're dead ordinary, because the Lord has made some great promises over your life. He's done that, but it's not just about you. And when you make it about you, you miss the point entirely, because he came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. And you know, he hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't gone, aye, well, that was fine for that dispensation, and now I've just changed my mind, and let's all just huddle together under grace until he comes back and whisks us to glory. Please, God, no. You know, can I just say this? We talk about the core promises. I'm just going to concentrate on two of them, but let me go very quick. You know, how do you summarize the promise that God makes to you, and how are you going to find what your purpose is fulfilled into his? It's dead simple. What are at the core? When you look at your friends and family, those who don't know God, whoever they are, people that you work with, what do you think it is that God says to them? Because do you understand, Jesus went out of his way to find this woman? Do you get that? Whenever Jesus was, see, Jesus was with the in crowd. He was with the spiritual people, the disciples. He was with the holy club, all right? And Jesus shows them something big. He goes, I'm going to go out of my way to show grace here. I'm going to go out of my way to revolutionize this woman's life. And the result will be, because I do that, the whole village is going to get saved. Do you get me? So what the core promises that we talk about are found in Exodus 6. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from slavery, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with great acts of judgment. Jewish people, for those of you who love Hebrew thought, the Jews call these the four I wills, okay? The four I wills. What will God do for you? Not what are you going to do for him? It's absolutely in line with grace. This is Father's heart and mission right now as you sit here, and it's his heart and his mission for you. This demystifies. You don't need to sit with teenage angst and go, what has God got for my life? Do you know what I have found? It's like Jesus says with the guys there, he goes, it's right now where you are. Do you get that? It's not 4 months into the future. Look up and see where I've planted you now, because that's where your harvest is. Like, that's not hard, is it? I lived for many years in the Never Never Land. Oh, Jesus, when you do that, that's going to be awesome. And it's almost like I was able to get rid of responsibility, absolve myself of responsibility, and live in, you know, some kind of sense of perpetual frustration, a little bit of okayness mixed in there, but it was always on the Never Never. And Jesus says, no, right where you are now, these promises are for you. You don't need to search that hard to find out what his heart for you is. You don't need to search that hard to find out what he really wants you to do. Number one, he says, I want you to lead people to an encounter. Look at it over here. There's so much discussion of this, but God's first desire is to bring you out of bondage and to bring your friends out of bondage. He wants to bring your family out of bondage. Bondage is everything to do with sin and its results. You get that? He wants people to encounter him like this woman does at the well. And when people encounter Jesus, not judgmental Jesus, but Jesus, the God of grace, what happens? Come and meet a man who told me everything about myself, but I walked away free. The reason why people don't want to come to God is because they think he's going to come down on them. He's not. He loves them. And do you know why you're here today? If you've been around this church for any period of time, it's because he's calling you to say, come and meet a man. That's it. And some of us go, but I don't know whether that promise is enough. Can I tell you this morning, look up, lift up your eyes and see, right now you can thrive. Because his promise is being sent forth into that conversation with a guaranteed result. You get it? I love that. Whenever I started to understand this, I was like, God, this is so easy. But having vision for my life is not difficult. Where am I? Where have you planted me? Where have you set me? Where am I in relationship? Flipping heck, I can thrive right here. Awesome. It's not even a physical change. Sometimes it's like we will thrive in another place which lives in our head and our heart. And he goes, no, look up and see. He, you know, it's dead simple. The Son of Man, Luke 19, came to seek and to save those who were lost. Seeking to save. We all know this word, sozo, don't we? to deliver out of danger into safety. It's about God rescuing people from the power of sin and the penalty of sin. I love that. All right? And people who are lost, it talks about absolute destruction. So we have to understand that today people don't like, it's a snowflake generation. Say boo to people out there and they get offended. I fell off the wagon and started to engage on Twitter. And for that, I can only confess myself. I know, terrible. I couldn't help it, though. And, I could help it. That's a lie. I have to take responsibility, but I just couldn't help myself. But I'm amazed. And amazed. I'm terrible. Don't look at me. Those judgmental eyes. Okay? I'm amazed at how quickly people, you know, don't you dare say boo to me. Bog off. Plonkers. Jesus came to encounter people because people are heading for destruction, all right? And that's why Jesus says, let them encounter me. We've got to see that because that's what he said. The Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. It's not just that they're just not in the church. It's actually their lives are headed for destruction, ultimate destruction. Get that for you. He said then that we want you to grow. Now, this is where we talk about after encountering. He says, I will free you in Exodus 6. He says, so I'm going to bring you out of bondage, encounter Jesus, and then I'm going to get you to grow. So the second thing about your purpose is, how are you helping people to, because being freed is different from helping somebody to grow in salvation. It's one thing to get out of Egypt. It's another thing to get Egypt out of you. That's why we talk about the love of God every week. That's why we put our podcasts up. That's why we do all of these things to help you see the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of God's love for you. Because it's not enough to be saved and in the meeting. God wants you to grow in fullness of his love. Why? Because it's his love that brings about change. It's his love that brings about fruit. It's his unmerited favor that sets you free and allows life to flow. That's why that's why this church is here. And if you're in this church, your job is to help people to grow. Now, my job is to feed you every week with good food. It's to make that food available for you during the week so that you can be fed. But it's also your job, your purpose, okay, is to eat, to receive, to be strong as that good food comes, to be nourished, and then also to bring other people to the same place to eat. It's not hard. I mean, we make it dead easy. Take half a dozen talks, fire them out in your bake books, and see how you go. Oh, I'm just a wee bit embarrassed about the church. Well, maybe it's not the church for you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's what it is. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'll not dishonor the gospel by treating it just like anything else. Too straight? But this is what I really want to say very quickly. He says, I'll redeem you and he will help you thrive. I find today what we're going to do with people here staying for lunch, and if you're staying for lunch, that's great, is going to help you to discover the purpose for which you're made. Because here's what's interesting. Jesus did not sit in the synagogues teaching grace upon grace. Do you get that? Where was he found? Where was he found? He was found in the streets. He was found where the people were. And he was found bringing grace upon grace to the adulterous half-breed who was rejected by everybody. Can I just say this? I'm trying to encourage you, and I don't want you to feel like, oh, he's going to tell us to volunteer. Oh, you just see visions of you chained in the creche. I'm not. Relaxed. With bulky, pooey youngsters running around you going, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm not talking about that. But you see, all of the promises apply. I have found in my journey, lots of people go, yes, I encountered Jesus and I'm growing in his love. What that means is I hear. But how do you know that somebody's truly receiving grace? It looks like love, all right? And looking like love is doing what Jesus did, which was serving and using and discovering who I am, what he made me for, and using that to help people encounter Jesus. The most miserable people under grace are those who simply sit and receive every week. It's never enough. Because you weren't made to sit. I use the illustration like feeding a baby. I used to do this, and then there's health and safety around it. You know, if I fed you chocolate cake, take a wee bit, it's lovely, isn't it? Oh, it's tasty. Have another wee bit. Oh, that's nice. I'm going to keep force feeding you here till you broke. Okay? You end up like a big fat baby. That's the truth. And so many Christians are taking so much in, they're not exercising it. which is discovering the very purpose for which God created you to be. You're all unique. You're all gifted in personality and talent and gift, and you're all planted in the house called Exchange. We're going to help you today, if you've never done it, simply to discover how God has made you. Because we don't talk about volunteering in this church. It's a dirty word to us. We don't talk about that sort of stuff. What we say is discover the purpose for which he created you to be here. Discover it. What are you gifted for? What are you called for? What's your talent? You know, Christ, it's in Christ. Here's the interesting thing. Outside, okay, what happens is people are desperately trying to search for that sense of nourishment and fulfillment, and what's the point? Isn't that right? Come to Jesus, he tells you what it is straight away. Lead people to an encounter, help them to grow in the love of God. Discover your own purpose, and then find a place where, as you discover your purpose, where you put it into play. It's called the church. That's where you thrive. And it takes those four things together. Do you understand what I'm saying? To see life flow. It's not enough just to sit and receive every week. So I'm doing the fingers. It's not enough to receive every week. That's good. But if it's just that, you'll never be fulfilled. What did Jesus say to them? Look up. All right? He's saying this is the purpose. These people running at you who are just like this woman who need freedom, this is why you're here. I don't know about you, but some of us need to rediscover the incredible joy and privilege it is to talk about Jesus and his grace with someone. It's like one of those things that you, when you get out of the way of it, let's be real honest. It's like church becomes a club, so we get out of the way of discovering what's my purpose, what's my cause, what's my belief. So we just make it about us. That's not enough. But the absolute joy of leading someone to grace, leading someone to Jesus, the absolute joy, and I'm not joking, of seeing our children respond or somebody respond in here because you are discovering your purpose and you're being a channel of grace to them. That's when you start to thrive. Use your time, your gift, your talents for what purpose? To allow the Holy Spirit, as he's loved you and poured grace into you, but to help people flourish, prosper, grow vigorously, develop well. This is what thriving means. That's the ultimate goal for me is what Jesus demonstrated here. Jesus demonstrated how to lead someone to an encounter, to show them his love, but then he starts to go, guys, the greater call, the greater purpose is this is what you're called for. So today I want you to start to think, because this is what it means to give honor to his word, to have an ear to hear, because everything inside of you will be self. The bits that we struggle with will be, well, okay, so what does that really mean? Can I really be bothered? There's a time to serve and a time to invest your life, but we just don't want to leave you there. We want to leave you in a place and bring you to a place of discovering your talent, your gifting, your personality, the way that God created you. And then finding the right fit for you in this church. Because have a look around. I am not in any way going to allow 2018 to be like every other year. No way. Not when there's people there who need grace. Grace upon grace. People who need love. People who need Jesus. This country, just have a look around. Think about your friends today. The ones who are stressed, overworked, failing to meet their bills, sick, their kids are this, that, and the other. All of those things. And you're sitting here with the ability to bring them to a place where they come and meet a man who tells them everything about themselves, not me, the Lord, and they walk away feeling nourished and fulfilled. Look up. Lift up your eyes and see. So it's not that difficult, is it? I love that. See, Jesus for me is not simplistic, but he makes things quite simple. When I come to the end of me, and I come to the end of self, and how that stops life from flowing, and I give honor and give ear to what he's saying to me today. Because for some of you, it's about finding your place in here, and I make no bones about that. Because you'll start, why do we say that? Because we need your help. Well, that's part of it, but that's not the heart of it. The part of it is because we're committed to helping you discover and thrive. Because you'll be better for it. Why? Because that's his purpose, not ours. Encounter, grow, discover, and thrive. The four I wills. And that's why Jesus came. So if you're struggling today to go, what's the whole point? What am I for? Your purpose, remember, is only ever found in his purpose. As you see what he does, do the same, and you'll see life flow. Amen? So my challenge or my call to action, my thought as I finish is this, is that today, for those of you who are staying, if you haven't planned to stay for lunch but you want to, we're going to help you with that. And understand that the whole heartbeat behind it is because we want life to flow in you. So our theme this year is going to be to help you honor Jesus. It's about honor when it comes to the Lord. Honor and grace. I honestly believe that that is breakthrough for so many people. And so we're starting at ground level today to go, what's his purpose? While I'm figuring that out, I'm going to align my purpose with his and life will flow. And if you're struggling to see how that happens, you need to trust that his promise is what it is. Do you get that? He hasn't failed yet, and I don't think he's thinking of starting to fail.